Now, if you get kind of skirmish and scared, then you're in the wrong place. Because there are going to be things that happen in this church and around God's people that believe in the people that God is raising up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you're going to have these miracles in your life to make it through what we got to go through. Praise God. So I said to the Lord, I said, can you believe me? People want to just keep me what they think. You know, they just want to, you know, you've been learning from your childhood. You know, we just want to keep God just right down, but he's not. Can't you look at the sun? Can't you look at the trees? Can't you look at the grass? Can't you look at things around you and see there's a God you can't even explain? All you know is God. But I'm telling you, God is getting ready to open our understanding and let us know who God is. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I tell you one day, pray, you be thinking. Because this is God's service today. I remember calling Brother Mark, and I told Brother Mark, I said, Brother Mark, I was in the kitchen frying fish right up on the hill. And some grease popped in my eye. I said, oh, God. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to lose my eye. Dear God. And I put my, I don't know what he told me to do, but nothing happened to my eye. Yeah. Children, y'all listen good today. Please, this is the Lord. Listen good. God wants you to believe the supernatural. He's a supernatural God. You know, he ain't just somebody that you read about that's up there with a long beard. No. God is awesome. He wrote down where he moved the Red Sea back, but he done something for you. We was in the kitchen cooking long day. I don't think I told Dad, but Stephanie, she could verify this. We was cooking, and we let something burn, and it was the whole house was just full of smoke. Up on the hill, just full of smoke. And the grease that was in the pan, it had boiled, the water was in the pan. And so when the kids said, Mama, the house on fire. So I jumped up, and I ran to the place, and the stuff that was in the pan fell on my foot. Fell on my foot. I knew my foot was gone. But the Lord got, God, I don't understand all these things, children of God. All I know that they happen, and all I know, can't nobody take them because they're mine. And I went in the front room, and I set my feet up on top of the, up on the table that was in the front room, and I said, in Jesus' name. It didn't blister. It didn't hurt. And I never told anybody about it. God said, tell it. He said, I want my people to see I am God and there's nobody like me. You're going to have to know he's God. You're going to have to know he's God in this thing. You know, Joshua knew he was God. He walked up and said, son, stand thou still. Now, what man going to do that? Would you do it? No, I wouldn't have the do it. But he did. And I thought, begin to read, and God began to show me. He said, I want you to believe this way. I want to bring the people into this faith. There's a faith that was delivered to the saints. There's a faith that he gave to you. Contend for that faith. He said it. Contend for the faith that he delivered. You're going to need this kind of faith. You're going to need this kind of faith. But God has been dropping here and there in this church. Wake up, church. Wake up, church. Wake up, church. God been dropping in here, doing this and that, and we act like we ain't even seen it. Everybody don't get a car. People don't walk up and give people cars. But there was a miracle that let you know, I'm going to take care of you. And then back up, Deborah Tawana, somebody just trying to call her, just calling, calling. Girl, I got a car for you. Oh, she said, she told her, come on, children, wake up. God is dropping here and dropping there. And he's trying to wake us up. Wake up, open your eyes and see there is a God in heaven. And he ain't just some anybody. Uh-uh. My daughter prayed. We walked and we looked at houses. We went everywhere. Praise the Lord. She and that, can I tell this? They didn't have nothing. And nothing from nothing leaves nothing. But not in God's sight. Not in God's sight. And I can't tell the whole story. But when they looked at that house, and I'm thinking, I said, oh, Lord, they want that house. They ain't got no money. Buy no house. You know, what are they going to do? Big old house. Julius's house. Did you know Julius? He lived right around the corner from you. That big old gray house. We done walked around houses and everything. You know, the Bible says, we out there walking like Josh. Whatever he said, we walked around houses, claimed houses, did this and that. All the time, nobody got nothing. Amen. But God. But God. But God. You didn't think everybody thought you were going to get that house, Bridget? No, they say, well, she isn't. I don't know why Bridget them dreams so big. I don't know why they dream. They always want something they can't afford. But God! I'm happy for God this morning. I'm happy to know a man that I can depend on. I'm happy to know he ain't like people. Praise the Lord. Will tell you something and you don't know whether it's going to be done. But I'm happy I can read that book. And if I can find it in there, if I can believe it, all things are possible. I'm glad about that, Bridget. I said, I'm glad about it. Amen. Can't you see him moving? Can't you see him? Open your eyes. Open your eyes and give him praise for what he's doing. God, I praise you for what you do. Hallelujah. Don't be like the children of Israel that came across the Red Sea and forgot. It's so easy to forget. Hallelujah. But let us ask God to help us to remember. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Help me to remember. Now, God brought that back to me, all that stuff. I said, whoa. And I know I had told you about the accident. I was in a car accident. I stopped the highway. The car was towed up. And the man that got there, he said, somebody was in that car with that woman. It was. I had a black eye. Didn't get a bone broken. Walked out the car. It took me so bad. The little boy said, the woman is walking out the car. She's walking down the street. He's jumping up and down. You know. And he said, I'm going to pick her. I said, no, you ain't picking me up. I'm too big for you to pick up. So they had to lay the thing down and let me get on it and pick it up. God. I said, God. Ronnie, I remember you weren't saved then. Ronnie came to the hospital. And the first time I saw Ronnie weeping, I knew he loved me. Loved his future mother. I don't know which I married then. And he was walking and he was crying. They thought I was gone. They thought I was hurt. Because when Daddy came back from looking at the car, he thought I had to be hurt. The car was towed up. And it was a little old car. A car that you don't come out with. A little car. It was totaled. And then I'm going to tell you something. People that's in these things don't remember nothing. Because something in your mind, I don't remember. I know that the airbag came out and put that chemical that was in it made my hands, blistered my hands. The chemical that's in the airbag. I don't remember the airbag coming out. I don't remember. But the angel of the Lord stuck me between. It was a little shadow. And it had a little bitty space in between with the two seats. I might have weighed just about. The angel stuck me between the seats. My head was back in the back. And my feet was in the front. Glass everywhere. You, honey, I told everybody. In the store, I said, let me tell you about this. Ooh, I'm going to tell you about a God. I'm going to tell you about a God disabled. Oh, I testified then. I had a black eye. You know how I got this black eye? I didn't try to cover it up. That black eye was my signature. I said, you know how I got this black eye? You see, I was going down 70. Woo! You know, sometimes what you're going through can be your testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want somebody to think about what I've said. About you know it was God. Maybe you didn't tell nobody. A miracle that you knew was God. Now you sit down, and I want you, it's your time now. I want you to tell about something you know God did it. Now don't preach. Tell about what God did for you. So I just remember, because he brought it to my memory. He had to bring some to your remembrance. Amen, because that's the way he works. That's the way he works. God is good. Come on now, somebody. Get up. Get up. Just tell one.
What?
Yeah. Amen. Yes. Somebody else. He'll even take care of you when you ain't, you know. When I go ahead. He's good. Somebody else? Hallelujah, Jesus. She gonna.
School.
took care of me.
Yes.
You know, and wasn't thinking about him then.
Yeah.
But he took care of me, and I didn't even know, because I mean, we lived a hard life. So I thank the Lord for everything that he did for me and brought me this far.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank the Lord. I used to have a condition called Barrett's esophagus. It's something that turns to cancer. It's caused by acid reflux. It makes a hole in your esophagus and then eats its way back up in. So you've got like an upside down balloon in your esophagus. Well, a couple of years ago, when I went and had it x-rayed again, because I had to have it done every year, it wasn't there.
Yes.
Right. That's right.
And I got a letter at home to state, we know you had this,
but it's
not there now.
Keep on serving God.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
So much, but I knew I can't tell it all. I thank God for being out there in the street where I can tell it all. What brings back to my, what comes back to my memory is when God healed me of this thing on my wrist. So much God has been doing for me. But we had revival around the corner, and I don't know who was preaching, and it was the, I don't know, but I said, Lord, and they had prayer lines, and I said, Lord, you know, if you will, I remember it all, but I said, Lord, before this revival is over, would you take this thing off my arm? Because friends that I know, brother-in-law, they would have them cut off, and they would come right back. I used to be so embarrassed. I used to wear wristbands on and things, be sticking up out like that.
Wow.
And at the end of that service, it's been 25 years ago. That thing, God took it away. It just diminished. And at the end of service, it was dismissing and everything. I looked and I thought, myself, wait a minute, that thing been gone since, I don't know, what, 1987, somewhere around there. But, you know, God is so good. Like you say, Pastor, just let you know, if you can just look back over all that he's brought you through. You know, sickness, unseen danger, the danger that you knew about. Something should rise up in you and say, whatever I'm going through now,
He's able to do
this thing too.
Yes,
so I thank and praise God for healing my body, for bringing back to my recollection what he can do for me. Yes, signs, wonders, and miracles. And well, I believe your testimony.
Yes.
With all my heart. It's a seed. It may not mean that to a lot of people, but God's showing you what he wants to be like.
That's right.
So you all continue to pray my strength and Lord, and God is real, folks.
He is real.
Real in anything that we can think of.
He's good. Anybody else want to tell what God did?
Of course.
Yes.
This is back really close to 40 years ago.
Wow.
I was new in the Lord. You know, I had an old mobile home. This is what we lived in. And it was Todd myself, old mobile home. He was in the one bedroom in the far. I was in the back bedroom. And I was sleeping. And it was a sound sleep. And suddenly I woke up and just popped straight up in bed, and I knew something was wrong. And I went, and the furnace caught fire.
Wow.
Now, if you know an old mobile home, they go up like that. It doesn't take anything for them to go up. And the door was beyond the furnace was there, and the door was beyond that, so I could have never gotten out. But I knew that it was God that woke me up.
Yes.
And saved us. You know, we were able to go and stay with my mom. So way back, 4 years ago, you know, it's wonderful what God has done. I can tell you story after story.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
What God has done. But he brought it back to my memory, the first thing that ever happened to me, when he interceded when death was at my door.
Yes.
So I'm just so thankful for
that. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead.
Lord, it's just so much. Which one do I tell? There's so many.
Yes.
But I'm going to give a different type of one. Maybe maybe 5 years ago. You were a preacher, and you gave a word about debt cancellation. And, okay, back when Ron got sick, we had no insurance, and this enormous hospital bill, because he stayed in the hospital for almost a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I thought about the bill mm-hmm. while this was going on. I was saying, wow, Lord, I don't know what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the people at their financial aid office mm-hmm. and told them my situation, and it was like
$130,000
in debt.
My
yeah.
God.
Great. Yeah. 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 One day and said, your debt of $130,000
is canceled.
Mm. And wow.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. No secret what God can do. Go on, Queen. That's right.
You know what the time they would have somebody in the back of their car.
Yeah. 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 They. Yeah.
Not a brand new car, a little Malibu we had, but they were doing this down, especially in the city of St. Louis, single people, most of the single women. And I just thank God. I said, Lord, you know, even in my foolishness, He brought to my attention of the way she approached my car.
Right.
Yeah.
Praise
the Lord. He's something else, ain't he?
He's always there.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah,
so I was thinking on something
the
other day,
Brother
Nightingale, about me walking around and shouting and giving joy to the Lord. And I asked the Lord, I said, well, what did I get on people, man? Mm-hmm. Somebody want me to sit down and be quiet? What? He came to me and said, when you was at the hospital and they told your wife that you wouldn't have the functions of your brain to move
this stage, that's right.
Talk, possibly not see.
That's right.
Jesus.
He said, you're doing it because I want you to do it. He said, yes. I wanted you to sit still, you would be in a wheelchair. Wouldn't be able to walk or see. I want you to walk and shout and join.
Yes, yes. Come on.
Come on. Yes. And you're going all first.
Yes.
When I first came to church, he told me, you want to show my work what I can do.
That's right.
And you walk in and shout and join because of me.
That's right.
It's my work.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
Go ahead.
And I've been jumping and I've been telling you,
That's your problem.
24-year-old fellow.
said, I don't believe in God. I said, well, that's up to you. I can't make it. I said, but you will. I was up my lawn here. I said, you will. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to tell you about it. I said, well, look what he has done for me. He heard me. Yes, Lord. Yes. I said, now, if you don't believe in it, that's up to you. Yeah. But I know what he'll do. Yeah. And I was at work the other day, and I was thinking about the other night. This old guy, he's supposed to work with me, but he don't want to do nothing. Uh-oh. You know, and I was telling him, I said, Lord, I'm getting all upset about this. You got to do something. When I went to work last week, they said, well, old Don retired. He said, well, old Don retired the other day. I said, what? I said, well, I knew something was going to be done.
Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking about it when they started talking. You know, it was 6 days to the day, right? To the day. Because it was 6 days for me and Derek got married. It was our anniversary on Saturday. And I just remember when he went to St. Joe. He rushed behind him real early in the morning, 1 or 2 o'clock. And nurse pulled me aside and said, you want to see your dad? You want your dad to see you get married? He do it tonight. I remember that conversation, how angry I was for that nurse even bringing it to me. Yeah, my dad ain't going nowhere. What are you talking about? I mean, Derek rushed out, and it was 6 years ago to the day that they came to me when he was testifying that that's not mine. Again, Lord, watching you in your foolishness.
Yeah.
I was 17, junior in high school, and I was left school, and I was driving to the credit union to get money out for something. My friend Cassie was with me, and it was raining, and my car needed tires. I remember this, because my car needed tires. And it was raining, I was on Mexico Road, and I was driving a little too fast, and a car came out in front of me, and Cassie sat next to me, and I hit the brakes, said, Jesus, and again, my car was in the lane. Mm. Looked up, and I know it was God. Yes. I know it was God, even yes. In our foolishness.
That's right.
At 17 in high school, and I had to pay attention to what you're doing.
That's right.
New driver. God was looking out at me. I just give him praise and glory. Yes. So many things came back to my mind. I said, Lord, what do I tell? You've done so much for me.
That's right. That's what I want
to
do.
I can't pick one.
Yes, Lord.
That's the first one that came to me, and I'm just grateful for everything he's done.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is good. Now it's time for I got a testimony. I don't care if 5 of y'all up here. Y'all come sing that song. I got a testimony. Go ahead, please. Sing that song. It'll fit right in real good today.
Amen.
You got a testimony.
Amen.
Everybody here got a testimony.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. You got it back there, Derek. Yeah, she'll help you. Sister's good with leading.
She'll lead you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, choir.
He has it.
You got the words.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see the words right quick.
Uh-huh.
I know that part. This is okay.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Tawana. You know, people don't like to say they ain't practice, but thank you, Gwen.
Yes.
Oh, mama done this.
You be obedient, you never know what God got in store for you. Something about obedience is better than sacrifice. At this time, we're going to take the offering up. Thank you, Jesus. We still in church. Still praising the Lord. Amen. No, I'm not first of you, Mom. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you. I want to thank the Lord, too, for helping Sister Marilyn. She had to pay $200 to get her car towed from St. Genevieve to where she lived. Yeah, that she had to pay. She's out of some money. God is good. I say God is good. Thank you, Jesus. But there's a reason, children, when you go through. Your steps are ordered of God. Everything you go through is a reason. You're not out there just doing stuff. If you're a child of God, then God has got a reason for you going through. Amen. You may not see it, but he got it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's just so good. I mean, he's so good. Amen. We want to obey the Lord. I believe people get blessed when you obey the Lord. Amen. And our mind has been, of course, on what's been preached, because I truly believe it. I believe that this is the time and the day God is going to raise a people up. My pastor preached it all her life, bless her heart, about this people coming forth. And I believe it. And you can be in this if you want to. It's up to you. Amen? It's going to be a people that's going to believe God. Amen. They're going to believe God. And we have to believe God. We just have to. I want you to turn to the first chapter, 1 Samuel 17. I'm not going to keep you too long. Hallelujah. Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. And the Lord showed me some things in here. I said, whoa, look at this. Hallelujah. 17. You all know the story. We're going to get the story down where you can, I won't have to read so very much. Everybody know the story of David and Goliath. It's preached all the time. It's preached all the time. But let me say this. While studying the scriptures, and as I've studied the scriptures through the years, everything means something. Every number, too many periods, when he repeat things, everything in the scriptures got a meaning. Names have meanings. Amen. Now, I didn't know that long time ago, but I believe it. You know, and I tried to name my children something that, you know what I mean. I believe names have meanings. Why you name such and such a thing? Why did his mother, now she may not know why she named him Mark. And your mother may not know why she named you Marilyn. But there is a reason. See, God is in control. The Bible says the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. We need to think you down here just walking around like puppets. God is in control of this thing. Okay, we're going to go to the 17th chapter. We ask the Holy Spirit. We want to first thank him for what he's done. I do thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you've done so far. And I know that you're still here. And I know, oh God, that you want us to be blessed today. You want us, God, to be blessed in your word and helped in your word. So I pray that the Lord, that you will anoint me to preach this word, God. Help me to stand, hallelujah, upon the word. Lord, anoint me to preach to your people that they may be delivered in the name of Jesus. We give you praise for what you've already done. We thank you, Lord. And as we go back home, we're going to be thanking back and thanking you for all that you have done. We have not forgot. You know, Israel forgot. But we want to be a people that don't forget. Let's you know, remember what God done. It ain't going to hurt you to go back and you ain't got to tell nobody. Just go back and thank God. Lord, I thank you for that time you did thus and thus. I remember the time you did another thus and thus. I want to thank you. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. They were gathered together as Shoko, and
which belonged to Judah and pitched between Soko and Azekah in Ephraim. And Saul and his men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines, you know, was always the enemy of Israel. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side. Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Ha ha. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. Of course, some of our basketball players are taller than that, but howbeitsoever, this was tall for the people in that day. And so he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and his arm was a coat of mail, and so he was a big dude. And the weight of his coat was 166 pounds of shekel of brass. This man was carrying 166 pounds of something that was on his coat of mail. He had greaves of brass, and that's the reason why God is doing this now. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulder. Oh, he a bad looking dude, eh? And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. They couldn't hardly carry none that he had, probably. And he stood and cried against the armies of Israel. Now, the Israel, they set their battles in array, army against army. That means, you know, I don't know how they named them, Army 1, Army, whatever army. And they would go army against army. So for 40 days, and that's a reason, because it's something about 40. 40 days, he stood there and defied Israel. But you know, let me tell you something now. I don't care what's happening now in your life. But God told me it is time now for us to make our appearing. We're getting ready to make our debut. Yes. And this was David's time to make his appearing. This is his time. Amen. So 40 days this man stood there and defied the armies of Israel. And listen, you got to know what you're going through. It's not just something, but it's against God. When people talk against you, they're talking against God. Yes. Hallelujah. He didn't go in there and say, Huda, we're going to read it. I'm going to try not to go too fast because when I get happy, I'll be gone. The Bible said, I'll ask God this. I said, Lord, how did the armies fight in Israel? I said, because the Bible say in the 17th chapter and the 15th verse that David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep. So I didn't really know that if all the men in a family had to go and they pick them out, you know, who going to fight? Because it says down here that the three eldest sons of Saul, Jesse was an old man at this time now, the Bible says. For the man went among men of an old age in the days of Saul. So by the time Saul got where he was, Jesse had gotten old. Now I'm trying to figure out, my man, how old is David? I have to know this, you see. And I still don't know exactly how old he was. But I do know he was 30 years old when he became king. So he's running in from Saul for many years. Praise the Lord. But I didn't understand, hallelujah, so the Holy Ghost kind of explained this to me. In the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, let's go, let's see. No, I'm going to go back here. David, you know, when Saul was nutty, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep. He had disobeyed God, and the Spirit of God had sent an evil thing against this man. And he was kind of messed up in his mind. And he was just crazy. So he said, so one of the guys, let's go back over to the 16th chapter and 18th verse of 1 Samuel. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse. What can we do? Let's go back up here. Number 16. Let our Lord now command us, thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. We should have went to hear that woman play something about a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon you, because he was going through, he shall play with his hand and you shall be well. And Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Benjamite. Look, make sure you remember that now. That is a cunning and playing and a mighty man of valor and a man of war and prudent in matters and a very comely person, and the Lord is with him. Now, how that servant know that, I don't know. I don't know if he was going through the field one day and David was out there playing, you know, playing the harp. How could he say that David was a man, a mighty valiant man, a man of war? I don't know if he seen him kill the bear or kill, I don't know, because the Bible don't say. But this man gave the thing of, you know, gave him a resume. Praise the Lord. And he's not nothing but, I say, in his 20s maybe, in his teens. Couldn't be, because he didn't take the throne till he was 30. Now, I do know that because the Bible says it. And so they sent for Saul. They sent for David. Wherefore, Saul sent messengers unto Jesse. Listen now. And said, send me David, your son, which is with the sheep. Huh. And Jesse took an ass, laden it with bread and bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David unto his son, unto Saul. And David said to Saul, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved, listen, and Saul saw David, and he loved him greatly. Is that what the Bible say? And he became his armor bearer. Now, this boy, I'm going too fast, but this child came at this time to meet Saul, to play the harp so that he could get some peace in his mind. Keep that now. Y'all ever read this story and kind of wondered what I'm wondering? And Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David, I pray you, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Do we know him? Do he know David? And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed. It was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So now they're in a fight with the Philistines. They're up out in the valley of Succoth getting ready to fight the Philistines. And God is getting ready to bring David into his calling. He's getting ready to show Israel what is going on here. Hallelujah. David's getting ready to make his debut. But listen, before he got to that place, children of God, he's where we have been. We've gone through battles. We've gone through fighting. We ain't killed no little bear and no little lion, but we have been in things that only God could have brought us out. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you see, there was a reason, because it's time now for God to do something now. And so he brought him up before he get ready to bring him up. Well, he's going to be king. He was anointed way back yonder. The brothers saw he was anointed. Let me tell you something else. Your family will be the one that will come against you. They saw when the oil ran down Davis. He was just a kid then. And so his older brother got jealous of it. He was jealous. You know how you felt? Well, it was seven of them. They were seven, you know, older ones jealous, you know. Praise God. But David would stay out there and take care of his father's sheep. But what they didn't know, he was learning how to take care of Israel. He was out there tending them sheep for a reason. So where you are, watch out now. Where you are in life is for a reason. I say it's for a reason. I didn't ever know why I had 10 kids, but now since I have to deal with people, I know why I got 10 children. Why I had 10 kids, I learned that everybody's not alike. When I raised my kids, my daughter, Didi, could not stand oatmeal. Lord, she'd cry. I said, you eating this oatmeal, you going to eat what I put on this table. And she said, oh, Mama, please don't make me eat oatmeal. She just didn't like it. And she still don't like her. I had to come to the place, she didn't like oatmeal. So I stopped making her eat oatmeal. And then Gwen was always an A student or something like that in school, and she was slow. How come you can't be like Gwen? So God taught me. I don't expect all of you to be alike, because God taught me when I raised my children that everybody is not alike. We are not all alike. And that you say, why are you a pastor? I'm a pastor because God took me through this to teach me how to be. Amen. Now, I know everybody's not alike. So when you come up with something crazy, you know, that just, you know, I said, well, that just her. Or that just him, you know. Amen. What I'm saying to you is, where you are in life is your training session. You don't know what God got planned for you. David knew he was going to be a king, but I guess he didn't know how. So let's go on with it, because like I said, I don't want to read it so much. Hallelujah. So number 10, 17 and 10. And the Philistines said, this man, see, they would fight, but when this big old dude would come out, the guy said, let's end the fight. You just send me a man that can whoop me. You send me a man that can whoop me, and that'll be it. And so every time Goliath would come out there, you know, they'd kind of be fighting, they'd run. Well, I ain't going to say nothing about that. Somebody got to be a David. Somebody got to show the saints. So if God is trying to use you for that somebody, don't be wondering about why the saints ain't. Watch out. Because God won't. Oh, I hope you got that. I hope I don't say it red enough in there. Hey, amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, praise the Lord. I'm going to say what the Bible said this time, sister. Now, David was the son of that Ephraimite. Listen, of Bethlehem, Judah. But Saul had sent to Bethlehem to get David to play the harp. Keep that. He sent to Bethlehem to get, and he told him, say, he can't come back because I like him. He's found favor in my sight. So they was in the battle. So David went out. His father sent him out, and this got some connotation. He said David was the youngest, number 14. He was the youngest, and the three elders followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now there's something about 40 days. Y'all know the rain was up on the earth 40 days. So when you get to these things, look them up. I didn't just go just in there, but we know that it's something about 40. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Beginning of something or the end of something. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now thy brethren an ephah of parched corn. And I notice this 10. And take 10 loaves and run to 10 loaves of cheese and 10 loaves of corn. I remember what it was. He said, and run to the camp to see about your brothers. And take this to them. Now Saul and all the men were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, army by army. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded. Let's go down to verse 22. And David left his carriage in his hand of the keepers of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion as he was talking to his brethren. This Philistine who was defying Israel came up, hallelujah, and spake according to words, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were so afraid. I mean, they were sure enough scared. I'm talking about Israel. I'm talking about the people that God chose. I'm talking about the church folk that God chose. They was all afraid, and they ran. Praise. Now, here little old David, hallelujah, with his little whatever they wore in them days, hallelujah, and his little bag on the side, and his little staff in his hand. He ain't dressed for no warriorship. He don't dress like men supposed to be dressed when they go out to war. He had on no shield. He had nothing on him but just him and God. I'm telling you, woo, you don't need man's covering when you go out. All you need is God, hallelujah, to take you out. Hallelujah. You don't need what people got. You don't need nothing but God. I seen that in this. Oh, I got so happy for David. I want to see David. It's Jesus first. Saul next. Paul. And then Jesus. And then he back looking at him. Amen. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled. Listen to this. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he's come up. And it shall be that the man who killed him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Now, that was what the king said. That was the bounty and that was the reward for whoever killed this big dude. Amen. Y'all read the story. Y'all know some things in there right now. So David spake of the men and said, what shall be done to... So he wanted to make sure that he heard the right thing. See, make sure you get it right now. And David spake to the men that stood by. He said, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine? They done already told him. And take away the approach. He want to make sure I heard this thing right. Let me see that here. Look what he said. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know when this devil come against whatever you got in your hands, whatever your truth, who he think that he is? Hallelujah. You got to know who you are. David had enough. He had enough something with God that he understood who he was. You know, that when he was in the field and God killed the lion and the bear, that gave him faith in God. He sat out in the night and he would, you know, strum his guitar and sang the songs to God. And all of the, most of the 150 psalms is psalms that David said. He wasn't a perfect man. He's just like you. You say, well, I don't know. Listen, where you sitting right now, all you got to do is love God. That's all. When he see the love in you, he don't care what's in you. Praise the Lord. I do not listen what I'm saying now. I'm just trying to tell you, praise God, you don't have to be perfect to love God. Because David was not perfect. He was not perfect. But he loved God. And he would play with his harp. Amen. And he played demons away, seemingly. And so David went out, little bitty, I see this little kid out, talking to these great big men. And he was pulling himself, hey, come here. Hey, you, what did the king say? You got to get this thing straight. What now? I want to be sure. Hey, you. And Eliab heard him, the oldest brother. He said, there ain't nobody but David. What you doing down here? I know your pride and your hardness. You just come down here to see what's going on. What you doing? How come you ain't out there taking care of your daddy's little few sheep out there? Now, the average person would have said, yeah. But I love it. He said, hey. Hey, what did the king say? Oh, I love it. What did he say? He said he's going to make his family rich and he's going to give him his daughter. He said, oh my God, that's wonderful. He said, I likes that. Now, he ain't old enough to get married because Jewish men most didn't get married till they was like 30. So he's just a kid, you know, but the riches, that kind of stuck in, you know, making his family, you know, come on now. Praise the Lord. And so he talked so much, he said, yes, I know. Who can, he ain't come against y'all, he's coming against God. Can't y'all see he coming against God? I ain't scared of this dude.
There you go.
So they heard and they took it back to Saul. Now here's what gets me. Don't go too fast, Sister Dave. It's okay, Lord. This was Gizbe. They took him to Saul. And Saul said, what you talking about? He said, listen, he said, don't be afraid. He said, don't y'all be scared. He's of this man. He said, God is able to deliver me and deliver Israel from this. He said, so don't let this man scare you. Oh, my God. And Saul said, what are you talking about? He said, I'll go and fight him. Number 34. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his word. He told him about what had happened. What you said today. Come on now. You testified of the goodness of God. He said, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear. And took a lamb. Watch out, don't mess with my lambs. I went out after him and I killed him, or smote him, and delivered this lamb out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and I killed him. And killed him. I killed him. I smote him and slain him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. I killed the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as just like them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. He don't talk too much. Now, if he'd have said something about Saul, I could have said, but you don't talk about my God. You don't talk about the one who's been delivering me. You don't talk about the one that I'm trusting in. You done got me riled up now. You done got me riled up, I'm telling you. Got me mad here. And so Saul said, well, if you're going to go look at Saul, ain't it pitiful? put on, you know, y'all know the story. He put on all this heavy armor that Saul been wearing. And David trying to walk clink, 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 and it's heavy. And he said, no. He said, King, I can't wear this. You can't wear nobody else's nothing. You can't. God got a clothes for you. And you can't wear nobody else's. So he took it off. And sister preached about that wonderfully. He took it off. Praise God, he went out there, and I love it, I love it. I know I'm going fast, but I just, ooh, Jesus, have mercy. This message is eating up my soul. Praise the Lord. So he took his staff in his hand. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Praise God, he took his staff in his hand out to the brook, and he put 5 smooth stones in his bag. Praise the Lord. Now, he doing this under the auspice of God. Amen. Because you know what? We supposed to go to God boldly. God is tired of people sneaking in like some dirty dog, like you think you've been the dirtiest dog. You know, well, I don't know. I'm not worthy. But I'm getting something else out of this. The Bible say, come boldly before the throne. The Bible say, come boldly. And I understand there's a time. I'm not talking about trying to be so, no. But I believe you're supposed to be boldly. I believe you're supposed to be bold. Had not David been bold, he couldn't have faced that man. Timidity would not have conquered this. You got to be bold. Hallelujah. I heard brother say, now, brother, you may think this is strange, you saying that, Brother Mark. But you just keep on saying it. When I ask you something, you say, I'm healed. I don't care what nobody around you say. I don't care what it look like. I don't care if it don't come today. I don't care if it don't come. You keep on saying it. You keep on saying it until he do it. See, that's what happens to people. My arm, y'all know, I told you my arm was going out. My sister's arm, your arm still? My arm, look, I said, Lord, you might as well come on because I'm going to keep on wearing you till you do it. Right. You might as well just heal my arm because you might as well. Because I'm going to keep asking you. If you can hear me crying and begging every day, then I'm making feel bad. And so I just kept lifting it up every morning. I said, God, by your stripes I'm healed. I'm healed by your stripes, Lord. That's all I don't know nothing else. I just, you know, that's what he taught me. I don't mean no harm, but God taught me these things. Amen. I've gone through sickness and he took me through. I ain't had sense enough to do nothing else. That's the way I was taught. You know, he taught me, you know, I get sick, everybody be sick, and I just go to God and just say, Lord, heal my body. And he did it, so I'd be kind of disappointed if he didn't do anything else I asked him. Amen. And you know what? He wants us to know him. He wants all of us to know him. I don't care what's the matter with you. I really don't care. I know that God is a deliverer. That he is a miracle worker. And I think he brought us to this morning to let I just want you to look back in your life and see the miraculous things he has done for you. Praise the Lord. He's the same God. Oh my goodness. So David, y'all know where he went. I love it. He went out to this man. Now listen to this. When he came to Goliath, when he came to him, let's look at the 42nd verse. I think it's is that the 18th chapter 44? Yeah, that's the 17th chapter and the 44th verse. He said, I think when David first started coming out toward the where he was fighting at, I can see him with his little staff and his little bag. The man that was with the man didn't know. He said, oh, they're getting ready to send somebody out. And so he said, So he goes out there, vroom, vroom, and he's looking. I can see him. He's looking. What? You know, he didn't see him at first. You know, he said, wait a minute. Because the Bible says he looked around. So he looked around. And when he saw this little boy, you got to be kidding. And then he come with a staff. He said, you coming after me with a stick? He don't know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. They may look like a stick, but what I got is what is going to take you down. And when he walked out there, I can just see little old David. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He said to him, am I a dog that you should come and we with staves or sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Now all this coming into his mind. Now y'all know y'all can't hardly stand about the cursing. Watch out. But you got to learn, and we got to learn how to not let words take us off. Because if David was the kind of person that when you spoke to him, he was gone, he wouldn't have did this. Then said David to the Philistine, number 45, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. Oh, that's the world got. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. This case, I'm just giving me his resume just in case you know. Hallelujah. Whom you have defied. You ain't just defied Israel. You defied Israel's God. And I come in his name. This day. Listen to this. This day. Oh, he giving him the ride. Will the Lord deliver you into my hands? I'm going to kill you or smite you and take your head from you. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines. Otherwise, my people going to come in after this. They're going to get some spruces when I do this, see. That's going to give them. Y'all didn't see that, did you? He say, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in heaven. God going to raise up people. Ooh, Jesus. People going to know there's a God in heaven. You take this Sunday school stuff to people, and that's all they know. You got to take something now. I said, you got to take something now to people. He said that they're going to know there's a God in heaven. And all, listen to this. I ain't going to just stop there. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. Not our might, but he will give you into our hands. So it came to pass he done got mad now. The Philistine arose and came and drawed near to David, because he thought this little boy ain't going to do nothing. So he come, the devil ain't got a bit of sense. He don't know what you got. So here he come out. I can see him now. Can't you see him? David, you think David ran out? The Bible said David hastened. Is this what this Bible said? And ran toward to meet the Philistine. He ran toward the devil. He didn't run from him. He ran toward him. Come on, devil. Give me your best shot. I'm telling you. David put, while he running his mouth and talking, David puts his hand in his bag and took a stone and slang it. You know the story. And he smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell to his face to the ground. Praise the Lord. But David want to be sure now. We got to kill this dude. And he prevailed against the Philistine with a slang and with a stone. He smote the Philistine, but there was no sword in David's hand. Not no sword of man. So he went up to where the guy was, took this big heavy sword, and cut his head off. And picked it up. Oh, now Israel done got really. I'm gonna tell you something. If you can receive this message, don't be mad at your brethren, because God gonna raise you up. Don't be mad when they say this and that. When they don't understand what you're doing. When they don't understand how you praise God. They don't understand what you say. But don't get mad, because God will raise you up, and then they'll understand. Praise God, who God is. That's what He's trying to do. He's gonna take a few people that can hear this word and raise them up, and they're going to go forth, hallelujah, and do the works of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And then the church can see. Did y'all get that? You get that? That's what the Bible said. There's a people. Joel saw it. He saw this people. And God, listen, God going to do something to you that nobody, the person thought they knew you, ain't going to know you. You know why? Because here it is right here. I'm going to read to you. Here it is. Here it is. Brother, follow me. Here it is. Here it is. Hallelujah. After David had killed the giant, carried his prize in his hand. Hallelujah. Jonathan brought him before his daddy. Now, this is here. David played the harp for Saul. He sent to David to Jesse and told him, don't let David go back. I'm loving him, and I want him to stay in my court. But the Bible says, and when Saul saw David, number 55, go forth against the Philistines. When the church see you fasting and praying and trying to seek the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. He said unto Abner, the captain of his host, whose son is this? Who is this? How could he not know who it was when the boy just played the devil out of it? I prayed over that thing for days. I said, Lord, what in the world? How does man not know this boy? He does, and he said, not only did then he was his armor bearer, so he had to see him every day. It ain't that many years that passed between there. Because like I say, he was 30 years old when he took the throne. He couldn't have been way over 20 years that passed by. No. And he said a stripling, so he was saying that he was a kid too. Listen what he said. He said, and David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, number 57. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Go ahead. And Saul, listen. And Saul said to David, whose son are you? Where you been? Have you ever wondered about that? Who are you? Because something's going to happen to you. Something God going to do to anyone who can receive it. People ain't going to know you. I thought I knew Al. I thought I knew John. I thought I knew her. I don't know who she is. Something happened. She ain't the same person. I thought I knew him, you know, but I don't, you know, he didn't know who he was. He said, and who is your daddy? Now, come on now. He sent to Jesse and told Jesse. He sent. I said, Lord, what in the world? He said, keep on serving me. Hallelujah. God is going to be able to bring his people to a place, if you can receive it, well, the world ain't going to know you. Those around you thought they knew you. As you know, right now, y'all, they probably tell you, praise God. Y'all, you know, you used to. Hallelujah. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, thou young man? And David answered, I'm the son of thy servant, Jesse the Benjamite. He tried to explain it. He said, now look, I just left this court about a year ago, 2 years ago. Now, ain't nowhere in the world you couldn't know me. God, that's what I'd have said. But it's a connotation in there. It's something in there that God wants you to see. Want me to see. Who God is trying to put in us and what he's trying to do for us. Amen. Because when he fought the Philistines and won, all of Israel, all of them got really, really bold. They went out and fought with the Philistines. Because after that big man was dead, they weren't scared no more. When we get rid of this big man, all right. They weren't scared anymore. Then they went out. God is trying to do something for the church. He really is. He's trying to do something for the church. This is why he's doing all these things. And then, you know, if you call them, you know, that they ain't nothing, then you're going to miss it. You know, if you sit down and say, well, I don't know about now that boy, you know, him, you know, healing that leather. He didn't heal anything. God can do anything. I said, God can do anything. You got to be one to believe that God can do anything. And when you believe God can do anything, and then you coming now. Somebody tell you something, you say, I don't know about that. I don't know if he can do that. People got him down, you know, but you believe God, you believe that God can do everything. I don't understand people. I heard a thing that they get ready to, God's going to get somebody to heal cancer. It'll be God. Man can't heal no cancer. Man can't heal a butterfly. Man don't have no healing in him. And I remember when God told him to let you go. I read the story about this black scientist. The one who had the peanut. George Washington, thank you, brother. He wants to be a scientist. He said, oh, Lord. He said, no, little man. God said, I'm going to teach you about the peanut. And And I mean, he taught him about the peanut. Amen. It's God. You can see, and I saw God. I saw him again. So, oh, Lord. This is wonderful. What am I to do? I'm to obey you. Do what you say. Amen. Work like you say work. Sing when you sing. Just do what you say do. And then I can see what he can't do with me or you. Stand. I did it to my soul. I was one of the ones that was just messing with all I could with words out.